We had Borja Salming on earlier, and when you came to the Leafs, Borja was probably getting into his prime. Talk about a guy that had an aura around the team. I know, you know, you went on to Pittsburgh and Winnipeg, great things there. But what was it like being a teammate with Borja for the first couple of years?
Amazing athlete, really an amazing guy. The things that he was able to do, and the way he played the game, and how hard he played, and his agility on the ice just was an awesome sight to see. To see it every day was really, really something that was special. I played a lot of years, and there wasn't a lot of guys that I could say that could do the things that Borja could do on the ice. He was an amazing man.
And ahead of his time, really, fitness-wise, as a lot of Swedes probably were, as he told us.
Yeah, he was like a Greek god, still is. if you look at him, it's like, Borja, what are you doing? And I guess you got to be that way to get in those underwear ads.
it's not the easiest thing to pull. We asked him where all the pudgy Swedes are and whether they hide them on an island somewhere. 2 years ago at this time, you're starting your season in Anaheim. Things have probably come full circle. Last year at this time, there's no team to coach because there's no hockey. I would guess in a way you can finally breathe a little bit. People kind of forget you. It feels like you've been around, and that's good, but this is your first full season as head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Does it feel that way?
I don't know if you could say it feels that way. I think at any time, you're coaching a hockey club, it takes a little time for you to get acclimated with everything that goes on the hockey club. And when you only have half a season, you're waiting for the season to start. It's much different than, preparing yourself all summer and then finally getting the opportunity to get your team together, where there were some changes over the course of the summer. So it was much, much different this year than it was last year, as per se, because the time that you spent preparing, you got to get with your group together right away versus, waiting 3 months as we did last year for the lockout.
Coach, tomorrow night, Mark Fraser goes on the IR, so it opens the door for Morgan Rielly. And whether it's one game, whether it's that nine games, whether it's all year, it's so difficult, I think, for fans to watch and temper and manage expectations and what you're watching. What's your plan for Morgan Rielly tomorrow?
Well, I look at it no different than any other young player. Again, I try to emphasize the word young. It's a situation where, he's earned an opportunity to give us what he's got. And that you're going to talk to him about is just, hey, do what you do best. Don't try to be something you're not. We know what kind of player you are. You've done it in training camp. But the NHL, the regular season is going to be a little bit different. It's going to be a little bit faster. Everybody's going to have all their big boys are going to be in the lineup. So you just got to be conservative. Make the good first pass. Do the things that you do well. And I think that's the most important thing. And he's played in some intense situations before. But, again, the first one will be the most difficult. And then things seem to ease out after that.
Randy Carlisle, our guest on Brady and Walker. You got to see more of David Bolin than we did as a pro from the Western Conference. And yet we all would see him in playoffs a lot because Chicago's been doing that and they've been going deep. His kind of game that he had against Philadelphia, that's probably an ideal David Bolin kind of game. You're not playing him too much, you're not playing him too little, and he's effective when he's out there.
Yeah, the addition of David Bolin, as a coach, you always watch what the other coaches do and who they try to match up against your players. And when I was in Anaheim, with Getzlaff and Perry, they're two pretty good hockey players, and they still are. And Joel Quenneville liked to match up either Jonathan Toews or David Bolin against Getzlaff and Perry. So that kind of gives you a little bit of a lead into what the coach thinks of them. And you remember those things. You try to remember those things, and you try to utilize those things. And then you always, admire those types of players when they go out and they compete. And that's what he is. He's a full-fledged pro, goes out and he competes, and he does it every day in practice. And that's the one thing that our young players should take notice of is the amount of work and the focus and the pace that he practices at. He just carries that out into the game.
And he gives you that element. And, we'll say the other night in Philly, Nazem Kadri did not play a whole lot in the second half of this game. And, again, being a young guy, he gives you options, doesn't he, Dave Bolin? And now with last change against the Senators on Saturday night, you can pick your spots for Kadri probably a little better.
Well, yes, but it, you know that again, you put a game plan in place, and the thing about Nazi is that, you know, everybody has kind of pushed this kid into a situation where the expectations are he's supposed to be our number two center right away, and I don't know if that's really fair to him. Yes, he's got all kinds of skill. He's got world class skill. And he's a great player. Nobody's going to take that away from him, but to anoint him as a second line center in the NHL after, you know, a 48 game schedule, that's a tough road to hoe for the kid. And I look at it and saying he's going to play a lot of minutes, you know. And then just in the other night, in the situation that we were presented with, Boland in my mind was a better option, so we went that way. And I'd done that earlier in the preseason in against Detroit. We moved Boland up into a more, I guess you would call, a second line role, and we moved Nazi down. And, you know, those are things that say, as a coach, you feel that you're going to do what's best for your hockey club. And, you know, and I don't look at it as a slight to Nazi from a standpoint of, other than the fact that I thought David Boland gave us what we needed, and I thought Nazi's got to pick up his game.
Randy Carlisle, guest. We had Mike Babcock, a contemporary of yours. You guys won the Stanley Cup in back-to-back years, both coached a lot of the same players. He joked with us in the summer, because there's all these rumors coming from Detroit that he and Ken Holland differ on player selection. I think it's curious. I'd love to know if you and Dave Nonis are often in concert on players. Are there lively discussions, not even about ice time, Randy, but who should be on the team? You wouldn't agree on everything. That's because then you wouldn't be being honest with each other, right?
Yeah, like there's a lot made about whose team it is and what team it is. We're the Toronto Maple Leafs. I'm the head coach. Dave Nonis is the general manager. We have ample support with Dave Poulin, Claude Loiselle, our pro scouts, and the assistants that we have. So we're always in constant conversation on what we like and who we don't like and who's outplaying who, and, you know, all those situations. When a player becomes available or there's a choice on a player, we all have a vote. And then we make a decision that's based upon what's best for the hockey club. And I have a vote, and some days my vote might be stronger or carries more weight if I know the player better. But if I don't know the player, I don't think it should be my sole selection. And management agrees with that. We have people in positions to take their expertise. They're out in the field looking at the players. We have pro scouts. We have coaches who've coached in different organizations who have a network that you can call and you can ask. And they have exposure to these players at a different level than I might have. So why wouldn't we take their opinion over mine?
Do you, anonymity's tough in this city. Do you have people, a couple of the other coaches we've interviewed over time, whether it's been Ron or Paul Maurice, said it's still tough. You know, you go to lunch or dinner, do you find people they're respectful, but they love getting it, they're like, hey, play this guy more, hey, this. How do you handle that from the average Leaf fan that you know is here and know, you know, they embrace what you're doing, but they're as passionate as you are about wanting the team to win?
Yeah, but that happens, and most, I would say 99.9% of people are very respectful. And they might say, well, give this guy, he's playing well, and they'll support the guy that they like. And if it ever gets to something where I don't like it, all I say, oh, you're just 5 million and one, because I got 5 million other people are telling me what I should do, so you might as well be the 5 million and first. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Ottawa tomorrow, but looking ahead to Colorado on Tuesday. Poor Bruce the other night in Denver nearly got squished. Are you worried for your safety with Patrick coming in?
No, it was a little animated, wasn't it? And it gets a lot of play, and you know, obviously in the situation it was pretty tense, and those things happen in the game, and that's just part of the passion and the excitement of early in the season. You tend to see that stuff take place early in the season, and then it kind of tames down.
Just make sure that partition is bolted down.
Yeah, and the $10,000 fine always hurts.
Well, and I watched enough of Corey Perrien Jr. to know he never would have squirted water an opposing coach under your watch in Anaheim. That's
Yeah, it's amazing. A lot of people didn't catch that, but you saw that water flying, and I knew it was him. Yeah.
Shocker.
Well, yeah. Patrick caught it.